West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Morning Session 1, The Christian Life in Philippians. Message 2, A Life of Constant Salvation.
Hallelujah! How about can we get out the, let's see, if we're on Morning Session 2? And let's take this time to, if you need to take it out of your binder, we'll do it now. It's tab 4. And we're going to need the first two pages here. Just the first two in that tab. So this is the, amen, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lord, give us many clicks during this meeting. Amen. We want to see the divine scenery. Amen. Okay, how about we all begin by reading the general session topic together, which is on this first page. Practicing the twos or threes. And I believe over the course of this week, we're very much going to emphasize the matter of practicing. The twos and threes is a matter of practice. And then each of the session titles are below this general title. How about we read those together? The importance of the twos or threes in the Scriptures. Beginning to practice the twos or threes. Pursuing the full knowledge of the truth in the twos or threes. The binding and releasing prayer of the twos or threes. Being burdened for gospel preaching and shepherding. Practicing to carry them out in the twos or threes. Wow, what a rich foretaste. Amen. Very much looking forward to the fellowship on the twos and threes this week. This morning, the title for the session this morning is The Importance of the Twos or Threes in the Scriptures. You know, this topic of the twos and threes is very important to me. It's because of the twos and threes that I'm here before you. And so definitely in the matter of experience, I believe many of us have experienced that, it, at least for me, it's not possible to live the Christian life individually. Yeah. And in our experience, we need the twos and threes. This morning, I'd like to show you that the twos and threes is in the Scriptures. It's very much in the Scriptures. Amen. And it's very important. We can see the importance of the twos or threes in the Scriptures. I'm going to be sharing a little, just for a little bit, and then Brother Stephen after. And I'll be covering, let's see, Roman numeral 1 here. And, you know, actually a lot of what Brother Dick was sharing regarding this life within us is very relevant, because the life in us is not an individualistic life. Amen. It's a corporate life. Hallelujah. Not only do we need one another to be victorious spiritually, to go on in the Christian life, but actually God's goal, God's eternal purpose, is very much something corporate.
Amen.
He's not after something individualistic, an individualistic, spiritual, victorious Christian. But what God wants is a corporate expression.
Amen.
And how many of you, I just appreciated one thing that Brother Dick was sharing. He said that the goal of God's economy, does anyone remember that? What's the goal of God's economy? The body of Christ.
Amen.
And what is Ephesians chapter 1? Verse 22 and 23 reveal the body of Christ to be
the church.
Amen. So I'm going to start with Matthew 16, which is the greatest prophecy. And it's uttered by our dear Lord Jesus himself.
Amen.
I think many of us know 16:18, right? That Christ said, I will build my church.
Amen.
I will build my church.
Amen.
Against which the gates of Hades shall not prevail.
Right.
This is tremendous. This shows us the desire in the Lord's heart, which is also the desire of God's heart,
Amen.
Which is to have a house.
Okay.
The house of God is the church.
Amen.
And we see this church in Matthew 16, which is the desire of God's heart, is something spiritual. Because when the Lord was saying, I will build my church, he wasn't talking about, you know, a brick and mortar building. He wasn't talking about, you know, I'm in, from the church in San Francisco. It's the building on the corner of 19th and Lincoln. It's not that building that he's building. Right? And it's also something universal. He's not talking about, you know, a particular church in a particular city here in chapter 16. But he's talking about the universal church, which is the body of Christ, the new man, the kingdom of God, the bride, right? Which will consummate in the new Jerusalem. This is the goal of God's economy. This is what God is doing on the earth today. But I also am very touched that our dear Lord Jesus is also very practical. He shows us the vision in 16. It's something very high. You know, something that we aspire to. We want to be a part of God's building.
Amen.
We want to be a part of the reality of the church.
Amen.
Right? We don't want to be a hindrance to God's building. But how is this practically carried out? Well, the Lord is very practical. Two chapters later, in chapter 18, He shows that this is carried out in the local church. And even more specifically, I would say, fundamentally, more basically, I would say, in the twos and threes. How's that, brothers and sisters? The church is being built by the twos and threes. I'd like to give it maybe a little illustration. How about you, Brother Jonathan? Sorry. I always got nervous when brothers would pick on me, but here I'm doing the same thing. So, brother, let's say we wanted to create or build a Jonathan, okay? Jonathan is composed, we'd first need to consider what he's composed of. He's composed of, we know, he's got, you know, bones, he's got organs, right? He's got skin, he's got muscles, he's got all these things we know, right? These are a part of Jonathan. Without these things, we can't have Jonathan, right? But if you go even to a more basic level, Jonathan's bones are composed of cells. Jonathan's muscles are composed of cells, right? Jonathan's organs are composed of cells. And so without the cells, we can't have Jonathan. No, thanks. It's a small example, but I just wanted to illustrate that in order to have the body of Christ, which is the church, I would say that the building blocks of the body of Christ, the most fundamental constituent or part or grouping in the body of Christ is the twos and threes. We need to have the twos and threes. And if there's something wrong with the cells in our body, then there's something wrong. I mean, there's a disease. There's something not right with the body. And so I hope we'll be impressed by taking a look here at Matthew 18 that the twos and threes are a very integral component of the universal church, of the local church and also the universal church. And that is something very much related to God's eternal economy.
Amen.
Okay, can we all turn to Matthew 18? And let's read, how about we'll do verses 15 through 20, and we got to go through this a little quickly. How about brothers first, as soon as you have that, and then sisters, and we'll just alternate. Okay, brothers on 15, whoever has it. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go, reprove him between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Sisters, but amen. Let me stop you right there. Notice it says, take with you one or two more. You know, this is something very practical. We'll see later in the outline that the larger groupings are very good for general teaching. But there's a need for the practical shepherding, for the practical help. And here we have a sinning brother, and there's a practical need for this brother to be restored. First, you go to him alone. But right after that, it says, take with you one or two more.
Amen.
One or two more. That means twos and threes.
Amen.
Right? There's power and impact in twos or threes.
Amen.
It's something more than just the one.
Amen.
More than just going to him alone. Go in twos and threes if he doesn't hear you. And the Lord didn't say five or six, nine or ten. But here we have two, one or two more, which means twos or threes. that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established.
Amen.
Okay, let's continue with the brothers. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church.
And if he
refuses to hear the church also,
let him be to you just like the Gentile and the tax collector.
So here we can see that the twos and threes are not the church itself, but are a very critical part of the church. Okay, let's do 17, sisters. Or, sorry, 18, right?
Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven.
Amen.
Loose
on the earth
shall
have been loosed in the heavens.
Amen.
And 19.
Again, truly I say to you, that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them
Amen.
From my Father who is in the heavens.
So here, if any two of you are in harmony, this is the smallest grouping here in the section. Two of you are in harmony for any matter for which they ask. Wow, that I've always been impressed with that. On harmony on earth concerning any matter, it will be done for them. And here also is an indication that these twos and threes have the authority to bind and to loose in prayer together, right? Then let's read 20 all together. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. There am I in their midst. Where there are two or three gathered. Here again we have the two or three, very particular numbers. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so I'm short on time here. I'm just. How about we just make our way through the outline?
Yeah.
Roman numeral 1. The most basic way to meet with the saints in a local church is by having meetings in two or three, which is the smallest number for the gathering of the believer. So this is the most basic way. This is like the cells in the body, the building blocks of the church, right? A, the meeting of the believers are initiated by the Lord, who calls the believers out of all persons, matters, and things that occupy them, and gathers them together into His name to enjoy the riches of His presence.
Amen.
So here they're gathered by, initiated by the Lord. The Lord's the one gathering. Okay, B, the meaning of being gathered into His name is to be free from individualism, to no longer trust in oneself, and to stand on the ground of the body of Christ, to have the Lord's presence and represent the body with the Lord's authority.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we need to be freed from individualism,
Amen.
To no longer trust in ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. See, such meetings of a few people are held in the believers' homes for the purpose of prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread, teaching, and the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Indeed, these meetings may be held separately in the same locality, yet they are still the meetings of the unique church in that locality.
Amen.
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 E, while big gatherings can be good for general teaching, we need the small gatherings of the two or three so that we can take care of everyone's need practically.
Amen.
You know, I've been impressed that sometimes we look to certain ones to take care of our needs, the shepherding. But actually, it's impossible for just a few in the church to take care and shepherd, you know, everybody. The only way is in the twos and threes. The only way we can everyone's need can be taken care of practically is in the twos and threes. Okay, subpoint one. According to the context of Matthew 18, the two or three are gathered together into the Lord's name for the purpose of shepherding and praying for the sinning one. Two, if two or three are fully in one accord, the Lord would be in their midst.
Amen.
Amen. And would answer their prayer.
Amen.
Thus they would be able to render the sinning one practical help.
Amen.
And finally, F, the gatherings of two or three with the Lord's presence is the reality of the church.
Amen.
And is needed to build up the local church.
Amen.
I think I have a couple more minutes. So I just wanted to share, you know, about this matter of individualism. You know, many of us, including myself, we just like to be individualistic, just like to be by ourselves. We like to pursue the Lord in an individual way. I think this will be developed later on too. But just wanted to share a little testimony that sometimes, that the Lord wants to break down our individualism. And sometimes He gives us something that cannot be solved on our own. So I just want to share with you a testimony that I heard from a young college brother. He stood up and, he was in tears sharing this, but he said, "For years, I have been struggling with a besetting sin, something that plagued me, that I could not overcome. Years of praying, beseeching the Lord, daily, regularly, struggling against this matter that he could not overcome." And he said, after the brothers shared on the matters of the twos and threes and the groups, he felt the Lord was leading him to group together or find a companion to share this burden with, to share this problem with. And he said, as soon as they began to pray and fellowship, even though it was something very difficult for him to open up, as soon as that happened, he felt he was delivered from this thing that for years had plagued him. I was deeply touched by this. And it's so hard for us sometimes because of our individualism. We trust in ourselves. We think, oh, if I just pray enough, I'll break through. But brothers and sisters, sometimes it may be that the Lord gives us something that can only be resolved in the twos and threes. And so I hope what we get out of this Roman number one, the main point I hope that we get is that, God's economy, the goal of his economy is the body of Christ. His purpose is to gain a group of people to represent him, express him, and represent him. And this is corporate. And the practical way that this is carried out is in the twos and threes. And our brother Stephen will continue to go through the word to show many examples of twos and threes in the scriptures.
Hey, amen. It's good. We're not sharing individually, huh? We're sharing this message together. The twos and threes. And this message really goes along with the message Brother Dick gave. In Philippians, it mentions not just the furtherance of the gospel, right? What does it say? Fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. That fellowship implies twos and threes. It's not just an individual acting for the gospel, but this is fellowship. Okay, question. Here's a question for you, okay? How many times, when the Lord Jesus is speaking, recorded in the Gospels, how many times does he directly mention church? Okay, this is for you students. How many times does the Lord Jesus directly speak about the church? Okay, does anybody know? No, it's twice, okay? Twice. In the entire Gospels, the Lord Jesus only mentions the word church twice. Okay, once is what Brother Gerald referred to, Matthew 16, where he unveils his heart. Amen. And he says, what does he say? He makes the greatest prophecy in the entire Bible. And what does he say? I will build my church. Okay, so he was just opening his heart. I will build my church. But not long after that, he comes back. Okay, to the matter of to church. And that's right here in Matthew 18. Okay, in Matthew 16, he unveiled the universal church, the body of Christ. But in Matthew 18, he gets very practical. And he brings us to the local church. But it's very interesting. When he brings us to the local church, what does he emphasize? He emphasizes twos and threes. Okay, in the Bible, there's a principle called the principle of first mention. It sets the principle for the rest of the mentioning in the Bible. Okay, and here in Matthew 18, this is the first time that the church is referred to on the local level. And again, what's the emphasis that the Lord brings in when he's talking about the local church? If you were talking about the local church, and you were going to set the principle for the rest of the New Testament, what would you talk about? The elders? The meeting on the Lord's Day morning? The meeting hall? No, but what the Lord touches is the twos and threes. How does the Lord build his church in Matthew 16? The way is the twos and threes. Okay. If you look, it's very interesting. I hope you still have your Bible open. in Matthew 18. Okay, there's a little sandwich in verses 15, 16, and 17. Okay, there's a little sandwich. All right? Verse 15 is a piece of bread. Verse 17 is another piece of bread. And verse 16 is the meat. All right? In verse 15, what does the Lord say? Okay, you go and reprove between you and him alone. Okay, that's the first step. Then in verse 17, he says what? Go tell it to the church. Okay? But in between these two, he has, take with you one or two more. Okay, that's the twos and threes. Then, in verses 18 through 20, he goes back to the meat. And he hits on the twos and threes again. Okay, I'm afraid, and I point the finger at myself, but I'm afraid many times when we encounter something, a difficulty personally, or we're involved with someone else, they're struggling, having a hard time, facing difficulties, we may try to go at it, you know, try to get with this brother, you know, brother, you know, what can we do, what's wrong, and that's step one. And if that doesn't work, what do? Go tell Brother Dick, go tell Brother Brian, right? The church here especially can refer to the leadership in the church. So we may think, oh, I can't help this brother. I'm going to go talk to Brother Dick. Brother Dick can help this brother. And we skip the meat of the sandwich. we got one piece of bread. We got the other piece of bread. But we miss the meat. And what is the meat? The meat is the twos and threes. And that's why the Lord Jesus goes back. So he mentions it quickly, but then he goes back. In verses 18, 19, and 20, these three verses are the meat of the sandwich. And the Lord just brings us to binding and loosing. Then he says, what about being in harmony? What about my Father who is in the heavens? Where two or three are gathered into mine. There's so many little details just describing the meat of this sandwich. But too many times we just, me and this brother, and then, you know, go to the elders. We miss the meat. Okay, so let's not miss the meat. I was so convicted just getting into this, how important the twos and threes are. Okay, I'm going to give you five reasons based on the Bible that the twos and threes are important. Five reasons. Number one is the twos and threes actually occur both in example and in teaching throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New. Okay, Old Testament and New. We're going to look at some of the references, but it's not just at the end of the Bible, not just in the middle. It's throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Amen. And we're going to see these examples. So that's number one, Old Testament and New Testament. Number two, it's mentioned, what number two is the principle of first mention. It's mentioned right away when the local church is, the practice of the church is first touched in the New Testament, actually in the entire Bible. It's mentioned right there as the meat in the first time that it's mentioned. Okay, that's number two. Then the third thing is this: the twos and threes are connected with the church. The church, that's God's heart's desire. So that shows us how important the twos and threes are. Okay, the fourth thing, we've kind of covered these things, but the fourth thing is the twos and threes are talked about by the Lord Jesus himself. By the Lord himself. It was, of course, the entire Bible is the Word of God, but when the Lord Jesus, you know, what's the most important meeting of all the meetings there are that we have in the church? What's the most important meeting? Okay, I'm speaking now just of the larger meetings, but the most important meeting is the Lord's table meeting. And why is that? Because that's the only meeting the Lord Jesus himself told us that we need to do. And he said, do this until I come. That's why it's the most important. And here, the Lord Jesus himself tells us twos and threes. It's very clear. That's number four. Then the last example. Okay, this is a good one. Sorry, not example, but the last reason is... the last reason, maybe this is the best one. The last reason is the triune God himself is a group of three. It's not the quadriune God, the pentayune God. It is triune God. Okay, very clear. How does God operate? How does the God of the universe operate to carry out his economy? Does he work in a group of five? A group of ten? Is it the Father, the Son, the Grandson, the Spirit, the Soldier, I don't know, CEO? No, it's three. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And on the one hand, they're one. On the other hand, they're three. But even there being three is to show how they work together as one. Even the side of there being three is to show how the three work together as one. And so, when the Lord Jesus was baptized, what happened? The Spirit descended as a dove, and then what else happened? The Father said, "This is my Son, right? My beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Do you think, the Lord Jesus, he could have just been baptized, no problem. You know? But no, there was the Father and the Son there. And when the Lord Jesus cast out the demons, he said, "I cast them out by the Spirit and for the kingdom of God." Never acting independently. Always acting as a group. A group of three. Okay? So this shows us how important the twos or threes are. We can't do without it. God can't do without it. Much more importantly, this is the way that God gains his heart's desire, which is the church. Now, we'll continue on. I need some who have an Old Testament, because we're going to read some verses here from the Old Testament. In Roman numeral 2, let me read the point. Who has an Old Testament? Can I see? Okay. How about any who have an Old Testament in this section? Why don't you read Deuteronomy 19:15? Sorry. And then how about you, brothers, in this section, you take 1 Timothy 5:19. Anyone in this section over here who has an Old Testament, Genesis 2:18? By the way, you should all have your Old Testament. We need the what the brothers call it, the full sword, right? Two-edged sword, not just half a sword. Okay, then over here, Ecclesiastes 4, 10 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 10 through 12. And then the remaining brothers, Deuteronomy 32, 30. Over here. Now I'm going to read this point, and when I get to the parentheses, then we'll have the corresponding sections read their verses. Roman numeral 2 says, two or three are particular numbers in the Scriptures, denoting witness and testimony. Witness and testimony. Now, Deuteronomy 19:15. Read it clearly, loudly, and with a strong spirit. Ready?
One
go.
Witness only shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin which he has committed, at the word of two witnesses, or at the word of three witnesses, shall the matter be established.
Amen. Okay, very clear, right? At the matter of two witnesses or three witnesses. There it is. It's in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy. Now, 1 Timothy 5:19.
Yes, and the elder do not receive an accusation, except based on two or three witnesses.
Amen. Amen. Two or three. There it is again. Very clear. Now, here, two or three in these two verses are connected with these two words, witness and testimony. Witness and testimony. You know how important these words are in the Bible? Witness and testimony. Brother Dick many times asks trainees or asks the ones he's sharing with, he says, what is the deepest burden on the Lord's heart? Right? What's the deepest burden on the Lord's heart? All right? The word he uses most of the time is testimony. Testimony. What are the two and threes related to?
Testimony.
What about witnesses? All right, the Lord, in several places, you know, you right before he ascended, you shall be my witnesses. Okay, this matter of witnesses, again, without the twos and threes, there's really not that much testimony. We're short on the side of testimony, and we're short on the side of witnessing. Okay, now, the next one is complement and match. Compliment and match, okay? Genesis 2:18.
And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper as his counterpart.
I like this verse. Very clear. It is not good. It is not good for the man to be alone. Are we alone? Of course, on the one hand, this is referring to, you know, Adam and Eve. It's referring to marriage. But more generally, this can refer to twos and threes. Amen. And we have to ask ourselves, are we alone? If so, not good. That's not good. don't stay like that. It is not good for the man to be alone. All right, complement and match. What does that mean? Okay, match means something was created in a certain way, and without the other half or the other part, it doesn't mean anything. Like, you know, a puzzle piece. What is a puzzle piece without the puzzle? It was created to match the other puzzle pieces around it to create a nice picture. But if you just have that piece, meaningless, right? We were all designed. That's the way we were created. This is related to how Eve was created, right? Or formed. And how are we designed? How are we formed? We were formed to be matched together and to be complements to one another. Amen. That's the way we were designed. But we don't have any meaning apart from being matched and complemented with each other in the twos and threes. That's pretty serious. Now, the next one, the next set of verses, Ecclesiastes 4, 10 through 12. All right? Any in this section? Just read it. These verses are awesome, okay? You really got to listen. In fact, I'll probably stop you as we go along. So go ahead. You can read verse 10. Okay. If they fall, the one will lift up. Okay, let me read you this. You tell me if this is right. If they fall, the one will lift up. If they fall, the one will lift him up. Period. Is that how it goes? No. What does it say? The one will lift up his what?
Companion.
Okay. It doesn't just say, you know, some random, yeah, if the guy next to me falls, and yeah, I'm going to go get him. No, it says, who's going to lift him up? His companion. That's right. We have to ask ourselves the question, if I fall, who's going to get me? Is it going to be Brother Dick? Can we expect Brother Dick to take care of 300 people? If I fall, Brother Dick's going to notice, and, you know, we can't, I mean, Brother Dick can only do so much. I'm just using him as an example, of course. No, we need to have companions. And companions is more than friend. Okay, companion implies you have the same goal. And what's our goal? Hopefully our goal is God's goal, the building of the church. So first, what we see here is partnership and companionship. Without the twos and threes, I like that. What does it say? Woe to the one. Woe to the one. Is the Lord saying that to us? Saying to me, I was really convicted. The Lord was just saying, woe to you. Woe to you if you do not have someone to lift you up. It is not good, and woe to you without the twos and threes. So partnership and companionship. Partnership is the same thing. You form a partnership, what? To accomplish, to get something done. You want to accomplish something. How can we accomplish anything in God's economy? We need a partnership. We need the partnership. We need the twos and threes. Now, the next verse, verse 11. Go ahead. Okay. If two lie together, they can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? All right. Right now, we're all together. We're very warm. But after the college training, how can we keep warm? How can we keep warm? How can that warmness continue? It requires two. All right. And it's not just me giving all the warmth to someone, but it's mutual, right? You have two people together, there is mutual warmth, mutual help. But the words it uses here, mutual help and support.
Amen.
All right, mutual help and support. Where do we get help and support from? Do we have to go to Brother Brian, Brother Andrew? Surely they'll make themselves available as much as they can, but really, of course, the first one we should go to is the Lord Himself, but the Lord Himself is embodied in the twos and threes.
Yeah.
So we should really be, you know, that brother, that was touching, huh? That brother Gerald mentioned about he had a besetting sin. The only way he prayed to the Lord for a long time, but he didn't break through until he opened it to the twos and threes. Mutual help and support. Now verse
12.
Famous verse. A man will prevail against the one, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, before I talk about this, how about we read the last verse, Deuteronomy 32:30. Okay, in Ecclesiastes 4:12 and Deuteronomy 32:30, really what's talking about is warfare. All right? It's war. When it comes to God's economy, it's war. When it comes to the building of the church, the Lord, right after that, He said, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Okay? When it comes to twos and threes, it's war. All right? A man will prevail against the one. It guaranteed. No question. A man, that's what it, let's see, it says, a man may prevail against the one, two will withstand him. There's a battle going on. Two will withstand. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That implies someone's trying to break it. Someone's trying to break that threefold cord. Someone is trying to, it's the gates of Hades. But the only way we can withstand and not be quickly broken is in the twos and threes. And then Deuteronomy 32:30. Did you get the point of that verse? Why don't you read that verse again? Okay, that's good. That's good. So, one, chase what? 1,000. Two, chase 10,000. It should be 2,000, right? One, chase 1,000. Two, chase 2,000. But there's something about getting together in the twos and threes. It doesn't say how many three can chase. But at least at minimum three can chase, not 3,000, but minimum 10,000. Okay, minimum. That is, that's what we call, if you've heard this word, that's what we call synergy. That means, you know, I can chase 1,000, Mark can chase 1,000, but together we chase 10,000.
Amen.
It's just, it's exponential.
Right.
It's intensified.
Amen.
How can the Lord,
Lord,
accomplish his purpose in an intensified way? Is the twos and threes.
Amen.
That's it. It's twos and threes.
Amen.
That's how we can win the battle. That's how we can defeat the enemy. And that's how God carries out his purpose.
Amen.
That's all these words are just incredible, describing how important the twos and threes are in the church life, in the practical church life, practicing the twos and threes. Now, let me just ask a question. I'm guilty, so I raise my hand on this. How many, or I don't raise my hand actually. How many of us, okay, how many of us in this room, last semester or last quarter, practiced the twos and threes, say, you got together at least twice a week for 10 minutes. Now, I'm saying mainly related to just praying, even just general prayer, fellowship, maybe it was related to praying for other people. But how many of us in this room can say that last quarter or last semester, we consistently, twice a week, just for 10 minutes, met together in a small group of twos or threes just to pray for people, to be burdened for people, to care for one another. Not your home meeting. Right? I'm not talking about your home meeting on Friday night or Thursday night or whatever night it is. I'm talking about just during the week, middle of the day, at night sometime, Wednesday, Tuesday, but twos and threes. How many of us, and I know some of us were, because in L.A. we had a training on this. But so don't be ashamed to raise your hand if you did. But I'm just curious how much we're really into this so far. How many of us can say that we did practice that at least twice a week during the last quarter or semester? All right? Okay. We're looking at about... Yeah, don't be... I mean, if you did, you did. So don't be ashamed about it. Okay. There's probably less than 20 for sure, maybe less than 15 out of 300 people. Okay? That's not much. Twice a week for at least 10 minutes. But this is... I mean, I just... This is important. we're missing one of the most important things in the practice of the church life, in the practice of building up the church. If we're not involved in the twos and threes, then we're missing out. We're in danger. Woe to us. Woe to me. First of all, woe to me. And it is not good for only 15 people to be involved in the twos and threes. So all we want you to take away from this time is how important it is. How important. This is not an option. All right. This is not a sideline. This is not, well, if I'm weak, then I need the twos and threes. Or, you know, when I go through some hard times, then it's time for twos and threes. Too late. It's too late. No. Right now.
Amen.
All right. And we're going to start in this training.
Yeah.
We're going to start to practice the twos and threes.
Amen.
And hopefully that will continue during this school year. I point the finger at myself. I'm really short in this area. But we just need to practice. Just practice. All right, let's just quickly finish the outline here. We've covered some of it already. Point A, the first example of two or three in the scriptures is?
Praying God himself.
Amen. How about, all the brothers, why don't you stand up and read point one.
Praying God is one.
Amen.
And he is three.
Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Amen.
The three work together harmoniously for the carrying out of his economy.
Amen. The three, what do they do? What do the triune God do? They work together harmoniously to carry out his economy. How about sisters? Number two, why don't you stand up? Get the blood rushing. Okay, read point two. Ready? Go. Amen. We're going to see this on Saturday, right? We have a very special special something on Saturday. We're going to cover Luke 15, and don't miss that time. But now here, this is something that I'm almost out of time. It's okay if I don't finish the outline. But here's something that I really enjoyed, okay? In Matthew 8, we talked about Matthew 18, right? Okay, you know what Luke 15 talks about? I think most of us do. What's the first thing? There's three parables. What's the first one? The shepherd finding the one sheep, right? Leave the 99, find the one sheep. Who does that represent?
Christ
the Son. The second parable is the woman seeking a lost coin, representing the Spirit. And the last one is the father receiving the prodigal son. So those are the three parables. Okay. Very interesting. Let me read you Matthew 18, 13, and 14. 12, 13, and 14. This is right before the Lord talks about twos and threes. All right, what does he say? What do you think? This is Matthew 18, 12. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go seek the one which went astray? And if it so happens he finds it, truly I say to you that he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
That's Luke 15, right? Yeah. Then 14. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father who is in the heavens that one of these little ones perish. And then verse 15 is, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go reprove between you and him alone. There's a sandwich right there. Okay. What when the triune God is there trying to, you know, reach the sinners, the Jubilee, right? This is the best example of Jubilee. What does the Bible connect that with? It connects it with the twos and threes, praying in harmony. Matthew 18. That's the way.
Amen.
The triune God himself is the example. And then right away, he talks about, this is what I am the example. This is what I do. Now you. You need to do the same thing in twos and threes. Okay, we quickly go through these examples. I'm going to leave plenty of time for you all to share. Do we end at 11:45 or 12? 12? Okay. B is examples of two or three in the Old Testament. Jehovah and two angels. All right, Joshua and Caleb. Hallelujah for Joshua and Caleb. The way to take the good land, twos and threes. David's chief men. A lot of these are related to, you know, suffering, hardship, war. David's chief men, what do? They, three of them together, they went down and into enemy territory and got a drink, brought it back to David from the well of Bethlehem. How they do it? It wasn't Rambo. No, it was three. Three of them. All right, three worked together. Then four, Daniel's three companions. Daniel's three companions. They were there. And now this is actually really good, because Daniel, they were there. Where were they? They were in the fire. And then what happened? They saw, you know, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he saw, hey, there's four guys in there. There's four guys, all right? That is three gathered together and the Lord in their midst. That's right. That's three gathered together. That's Matthew 18, in the midst of the fire. Okay, then C, pictures of two or three in the New Testament. We covered this. Jesus, the Spirit of God, and the Heavenly Father. That's in Matthew 3. That's when the Lord was baptized. Then Peter, James, and John. Many times the Lord mentions those three together. The disciples, two by two. How the Lord sent them out on the gospel, two by two. And four is Paul and his co-workers. You got to look at, we don't have time to look at all those references. But I'll just quickly run through, okay? Acts 13:2 uses this term, Paul and Barnabas. In 15:40, Paul and Silas. And 16:25. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, It says Paul and Sosthenes. In 16:10, it's Paul and Timothy. Same with 2 Corinthians 1:1. Philippians 1:1, again, uses Paul and Timothy. Philippians 2, Paul and Timothy. Colossians 1:1, Paul and Timothy. Actually, in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians also, not on here, it uses Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. You know how many books Timothy co-authored with Paul? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5. When his name is put right there at the beginning, it says Paul and Timothy to the church of God in Corinth, or something like that. That's Paul wasn't writing by himself in many of these epistles. He was twos and threes. All right? Amen. Hallelujah. So maybe we can, should we just open up for sharing? Yeah, I think you can share either message, all right? Brother Dick, sharing on the first, that actually they really go together.